Bishus Marina Rav Shlita. It's an honour to be here again, and this month's topic are the tree blossoms. The siddurim which you have over there for the benching unfortunately don't contain this bracha, but fortunately the art scrolls got it in. Upon seeing fruit trees in bloom during the spring, this blessing may be recited only once each year. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shalom Chisar Ba'olam HaDavar, Uvar Alok Yos, Shalos Ilanos Tavim Lanos Behem Bnei Odom. And as the English will say, blessed are you, etc. For nothing is lacking in his universe, and he created in it good creatures and good trees to cause mankind pleasure with them. So we're saying that nothing is missing from creation. Hashem has created wonderful creatures, wonderful trees, in order that people may derive benefit and pleasure from them. So we're doing a Hakara Satov, recognizing the beautiful creation which Hashem has given us. And we do this when we see the tree blossoms. So the Gemara Brachas, I haven't brought any handouts today. The Gemara Brachas, Gimel Amud Beis, says this that in the month of Nisan, it says when one goes out and one sees the tree blossoms, one makes this bracha. Similarly, the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Brachas, it says when one goes out to the Ganos of Padesim, the gardens and the orchards, and one sees this, one makes the bracha. So the Poskim say that it's mashma from the Gemara and from the Rambam and others that really it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis that one has to do it, because it's saying when you happen to see the tree blossoms, then you make the bracha. Which means it's like a mitzvah chiyuvis. What's the difference? For example, if you want to build a house, you don't have to put a fence around the roof if the roof is not flat. But if you make a flat roof, then you have to build a fence around it. Does that mean you have to build a house with a flat roof? No, you don't have to, but if you do build a house with a flat roof, then you have to put a fence around it. So the Loshon used in the Gemara is that it's when you see these blossoms. However, there are many Meforshim who say that it's a big zechus to be able to say this bracha, and one should go out of one's way to say this bracha, even though it's not called a mitzvah chiyuvis. When does one say it? Once a year. Only once a year, so that even if you say the bracha and then afterwards you see better tree blossoms or a nicer orchard, you don't say it again. The bracha is only once per year. Well, what if you don't see it in the month of Nisan? What if the blossoms you only see in Iyar? Well, we'll come to that in detail. But the Ikar Zaman is the month of Nisan. Right, we do paskin it should be fruit trees, that the blossoms you see are those which will develop into fruits. Now what if you live in Australia or New Zealand, when in the month of Nisan, it's autumn. In South Africa, thank you, we've got the Johannesburg contingent here. What bracha do you say, when do you make this bracha? Then you make it whenever you can make it, you say in the month of Tishri, or Cheshvan. When we talk about Nisan, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael and, of course, the countries surrounding it. But there is a question in the Poskim, is it Chodesh Nisan Daka? Is it specifically in the month of Nisan or not? It's mashma from the most Rishonim, the Rosh, the Rif, the Rambam, that it's not Daka Nisan. That it could be any time in the spring. And therefore one could say earlier on in the month of Adar, or later on in the month of Iyar. Nowadays, what with global warming, we might be seeing the blossoms as a much earlier stage, and we might not get the chance at a later stage. And we say, mitzvah bo'al yodcha, al tach mitzeno, don't delay the mitzvah, and it's so easy to forget. Because you think, oh well, I've got time still, the whole of Nisan, the blossoms are not going away, and one delays it. One should do it at the earliest possible time, and the mitzvah min ha-muvchar is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's the first day of the month when it's specially dedicated. The Hidurim are to wait for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if you're sure that you will still see it then. The Maharsha refers to the signs of the zodiac, and this sun is. There are poskim right on this. You do not make shechianu on the bracha. The general consensus is that when the mitzvah is a bracha, you don't say shechianu on the bracha. You make shechianu on a mitzvah. Shechianu is is not only when you've got Simchas Halev, enjoyment from the novelty of the new mitzvah, but the Shechionu is when you're getting some more physical benefit from it. Now it's true, we do make Shechionu on Pri Chodosh, and a Pri Chodosh is not really a mitzvah to eat a new fruit, but it's the final culmination of the growth of that fruit. Whereas when you see the tree blossoms, it's not the final state of affairs. So the question of Shechionu is that everyone agrees you do not make Shechionu. There are a number of occasions when it's questionable in halacha whether one does make Shechionu, and there are various poskim about it. The Shuvah Me'avo does a pesach on when a married woman lights her Shabbos candles for the first time that she does not make Shechionu. There's a question about a bar mitzvah boy, whether he makes Shechionu the first time he puts on tefillin. Some say yes, some say no. But on this particular bracha, we do not say Shechionu. Talking about the signs of the zodiac, we've got the lamb or the sheep in this sun. There's the ox. Is it Taurus? How do you call it? Taurus is the bull. Taurus comes first, doesn't it? Taurus is really the month of Nisan. Why did Hashem... Do we know the date? No. The lamb. Sorry, I said it the wrong way around. The lamb is of course, Nisan. Hashem didn't want to give us the Torah in the month when we're like sheep. He didn't want to give us the Torah in the month when we're like oxen. So he decided to lay it till the month of Sivan to symbolize the twins. What do twins tell us? That we are individualists, but we are together. Ki'ishechod b'leivechod. And the Marashah refers here to the signs of the zodiac, that the best time is the time before the growth. The ox symbolizes something which is fully grown, and the lamb is something which is still growing. And the idea of Ischad is that we should confine it to Nisan. The Anshei Kabbalah speak about this bracha as one which is helping the shomus of the departed, who might be in some way embedded in the things which are growing from the ground, and it's a tikkun for those Lashomers. I'm not a man of Kabbalah, but it's very interesting that according to the Mekubalim, it's definite that one should make the bracha in the month of Nisan, because Nisan is the idea of Hischadshus, and the question is that if there is a conflict between the Shulchan Aruch and the Kabbalah, the Misnagdim go according to the Shulchan Aruch and not according to the Kabbalah, but the Radvaz writes in his Tshuvas that if there is nothing opposing in Kabbalah, if the Kabbalah says that's the time that you should do it, and that we're not actually saying in the Shulchan Aruch you have to do it in that time, then it's preferable to go according to the Kabbalah. Therefore one should do it in the month of Nisan. In the leap year you might find that the blossoms might be withering away already by the month of Nisan, because you've had the Adar Sheni. The Steich Emet, however, says that you should avoid saying the bracha in Adar Sheni. But after Nisan, he says, because the Tekufa of Nisan is then stretched out into the spring, he allows you to say it up to 90 days afterwards. Certainly, one should not say the bracha before Tu B'Shvat, because Tu B'Shvat is the earmark, the landmark of the growth. And the Shor Mitzion and Balocha says that if you say it earlier than that, then it would be a bracha of Atzala.
There is, but still that's kind of the watershed between winter 1 year and the next.
Yeah.
That's why the sun is.
Interestingly, the Gemara uses a slightly different phrase to the one we've got in our Sidurim. We say in our Sidurim, Shelo chissa ba'alom al zavar. The Gemara says, Shelo chissa ba'alom al klum. And if you look in the Sfardi Sidurim, they've got this word klum. And it's only the Ashkenaz ones which have this word zavar. Klum means he hasn't left out anything. Klum at all. Whereas zavar is a bit more of a lukewarm phrase, word. But that is what we've got handed down to us in all the Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim, and there is a slight difference in one or two other words, whether Ilonos is Tovim or Tovos, and Lahanos, the Gemara says Lehisnaos, which is the Hispoel conjugation, as opposed to Lahanos, which is a more active form of benefiting. The the tradition that we have is that we do not change what is handed down to us. There is a very strong argument to add in a nusach on another aspect. And Shabbos Rosh Chodesh in our davening, you'll notice that in our siddurim we don't have the phrase Kadoshenu b'mitzvosecha v'seichalkeinu b'sarosecha. And that whole sentence, long that it is, you find is missed out from the Atzei Yitzarto from our Sidurim. The Sfardim have it, the Nusach Ari have it, but the Nusach Ashkenaz don't have it. And if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he actually says that this is a mistake in our Sidurim, and you should say it just before the Bracha, Kiva Amcha Yisrael. I once asked Rav Cooper Schlitter about this phrase, and he says, we've got it handed down to us without it, it's not for us to interfere with what's handed down to us. It's a sign of gaiva if we start changing our siddurim which are handed down to us. We have to have respect for what's handed down from previous generations, and even if at the end of the day it was a misprint, it's not for us to start tampering with it. We have to respect what was handed down to us. So even though it seems that the word shelo chisa balama klum is more appropriate, because that's the wording used in the Gemara, and that somehow might mean better in the colloquial terminology, it's not for us to change the wording handed down for us. We respect our previous generations. The question is asked widely in the poskim, whether one can make this bracha on Shabbos. I mean, when you've got the family together, Shabbos, and you go out in the garden, it seems to be the most logical time to make this bracha on the tree blossoms. But the Prima Godim and the Speichemed are very uneasy about this, and the Mishnas Yosef brings them down and says that you should not make this bracha on Shabbos. Why not? He says that we lean upon the Gezerah Derabbah. What's the Gezerah Derabbah? That with Shofar, with Lulav, and with Megillah, we do not do these mitzvahs on Shabbos, even to the extent that we are being mevatel a mitzvah asei d'oraisa, because we're worried about carrying. And in the case here, people might carry their siddur to somewhere outside in the public place where there's no erev or whatever it is, and one doesn't want to get a hefsid with a schar, so to speak. Okay, alright, you're doing that regularly and you might not. People bring things beforehand to shul before Shabbos, but when you're going out to the orchards and the kromim, the pardesim, they are worried that you might start to carry. That's right. Yeah, there is a tosis on this, which says, why is it with Bris Mila we don't apply the rule of Shemo Yavarinu Daladamas B'Shusarabim? A moil might carry the knife in the street, but it's not a regular occurrence, and it's only one individual anyway, so it's not so shchiyah likely to happen. Whereas Shofarullah, the Gezerah Rabbah applies. The Kaf HaChayim, quite strangely, speaks very strictly about this, not to make this bracha on Shabbos, and he says, there is a worry that people, when they go out into the orchards, they might forget themselves and they might start picking blossoms. The wording actually used is they might start picking trees. I can't imagine in practice people are going to pull out trees from the ground, but maybe very small trees he was thinking about where they might think, oh, that would be nice for our back garden. And he is, even though there is a mefurish halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Shin Lamed Vav Sif Yud, that a hadas, a myrtle, which is mechubah joined to the ground, mutzal areachbo, you are allowed to smell it on Shabbos. Whereas an estrog, a fruit, which is mechubah, is joined to the ground, osal areachbo. So you're not allowed to smell fruit, which is still growing from the ground. Why? Because Shema Yovo Lakota say you might come to pick it and forget yourself. Now with the hadas, it's not a fruit, you're not going to come to eat it, but it's got a fragrance. We say you are allowed to smell it on Shabbos when it's still growing. It's only the fruit where we say you're not allowed. So in the case of the bracha for the fruit trees, it's logical to say that we compare it to the hadas and not to the esrog. Why? Because the blossoms, you're not going to pick them and eat them. If anything, they'll have a fragrance. So if they have a fragrance, surely that's no different to the hadas, which you are allowed to enjoy the fragrance of on Shabbos. So it's a kasha on the Kaf HaChayim. But if you look at the Kaf HaChayim on this halacha with the hadas, he's also machmir with that. So it's consistent for him that just like he's machmir with the hadas on Shabbos, so he's machmir with the bracha of the Elonis. Yeah, with Yom Tov.
Well,
what do you mean? You can't pick on Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Oh, Shelo Rav Mirenu, yeah. Yeah, on Yom Tov, if it's Pesach, you can go out and make the bracha on Yom Tov. There's no problem with Shelo Rav Mirenu. Yeah, thank you. But what is brought down by the Sefer Maaseh Chemed on this subject, who speaks and condenses lots of different halachos about the bracha of Ilanos, is that there was a minhag in a town called Kushta to dafka do this mitzvah on Shabbos of going out to make this bracha. Their view was that if you make this bracha on Shabbos, you are contributing to the 100 brachas which you have to make every day. And as we know from a previous session of ours in a bagel shiur, it's not so easy on Shabbos to say 100 brachas. We once did the cheshbon of how many you're saying in your Shemone Esra and so on, and how many you have to make up. And if something like 86 you're actually saying with your tefillahs, and then you've got to make up with other brachas on Shabbos. So by making this bracha on Shabbos, you contribute to your 100, albeit only one. The other thing which is written is that in Kushta was a place where they had lots of trees growing inside the town. Because he brings another minhag down from a place called Izmir, where they dafka would not go out and make this bracha on Shabbos. And there was also such a minhag in Baghdad. They would not make the bracha on Shabbos over the tree blossoms. Why not? Well, he notes that in Izmir, there were very few trees in the town, and they had to walk outside the town to the fruit trees in order to make this bracha. So there was a problem of Tichum Shabbos. Al Yoti Yishman Koma B'Yama Shabbos. You don't go out more than a certain distance once you're in the rural area. So because there was a problem of Tichum Shabbos, they were saying in Izmir, we do not allow people to make this bracha on Shabbos. Whereas in Kushta, where the trees were inside the town, it was okay. What is suggested by the Maaseh Chemed is that the reason why the Kaf HaChaim is strict on not to make the bracha on Shabbos is because the Kaf HaChaim was aware of a minhag Alexandria. Alexandria in Egypt had a minhag that when you went out to make the bracha over the fruit trees, there was an additional custom to pick one of the blossoms straight away and to say the bracha Barei Atseva Somim. When you have flowers, you might say Barei Itseva Somim. The general bracha we say is very minei v'somim, but on something which is like a smelly wooden thing, like cinnamon sticks, you might say very atzei v'somim. So their minag wants to say very atzei v'somim straight away after they made the bracha on the fruit trees. And since they had this minag to do so, it was ordained that they should not make the bracha on the tree blossoms on Shabbos. Yet people afterwards might come and break Shabbos by picking to make the bracha very atzei v'somim. Mitzvah bo ba'aveira.
Well, they could have said the
rock,
I'd say, without picking it.
Yeah. Okay. There is another idea, and that is when you go out into the Ganos and Paradiso on Shabbos, and especially if you are the owner yourself or you are the farmer, that you might be thinking of Mimtzach Heftzecha of Shabbos, your own business, although this is to make a bracha is chefsei shemayim, it's a spiritual thing. But we know from the Midrash Rabbah, the story about the chosid Yotzeh Lekromo b'Shabbos, a person who went out to look at his own vineyard on Shabbos, and he saw that a fence was broken, and he had in mind that he was going to fix it, and then afterwards he realized that what he was doing was not conducive to the spirit of Shabbos, and he said, I will never ever fix it, because I had in mind on Shabbos to make this repair. And the reward was made for him that a tree grew in that space. The Gemara Yerushalmi on this actually has a slightly different wording than the Midrash, and it says the words Shayotza Latil the Krama B'Shabbos. Latil is to go for a walk. He wasn't going to inspect his fencing and his assets. He was just going for an enjoyable walk. And nevertheless, he had in mind to do something which would be a malacha. And therefore, there may be a view that you avoid it because of that reason. Nevertheless, it's chefetzei shemayim, and we're not in the habit of making new rules, new gezeiros, on top of the ones which Chazal already gave us. So it's true that if you are worried about carrying, if you're worried about picking, then certainly you will avoid doing this on Shabbos. On the other hand, there are quite a number of poskim who permit you to make this bracha on Shabbos, and it might be the best time, because otherwise during the week you come to forget and you're busy with your work and so on and so forth. Another question which comes up in the poskim, just looking at the top, is whether women should be saying this bracha. As women are possibly mitzvah sasei shehazman gerama, do we say that this is something which has a specific time allotted to it? Like lulav, like sukkah. And women are not bound by the mitzvah seches man groma. On the other hand, the minhag Ashkenazim is that women do perform various mitzvah seches man groma, mitzvahs which are allotted by time. Even though they're not mechuyev, they do nevertheless do them. They might shake lulav, and they might makabel on themselves to hear shofar, for example. Now, in the case of Ner Chanukah, they were in the same miracle. In the case of Purim, they have to hear the Megillah, because they were in the same miracle. And on Seder night, the women have to have the Dalet Kosas, and all the other mitzvahs of Seder night. And there the reason is given, B'schus Noshim Sikonios Nigolim Utshayim, because of the righteous women were brought out from Egypt. Shabbos, of course, they're mechuyev to keep everything, just like the men are. Hukash Soma v'Zocha, because Zocha and Soma come together, so just like they have to keep the mitzvah sase, so they have to keep the mitzvah sase. This, though, do we call it a mitzvah sase? To make a bracha, which is a tikkun al chazal, is not really a mitzvah sase. And just like it's a bracha of re'iyah, when you see something, so just like you see the sea, or the Mediterranean, I'll say, oh my God, they make the bracha, or if one hears thunder, or one sees lightning, osim asim reishis. So just like those, women should make this bracha as well. In addition, we said at the beginning that this is not like a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah kiyuvis, that if you by chance happen to see the blossoms, then you make the bracha. So it's not like a mitzvah sasei, shazman grama, which is a mitzvah chiyuvis for people to actually do. This is a case where if one happens to see the blossoms, then one says the bracha. There is a question of Birkas HaChama, which is the bracha every 28 years. And there Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes, he brings down sources, that there is the worry that women who come out and are being seen in public, we might discourage them. The Chasam Sofer says this by Ner Chanukah. We don't want the women actually lighting outside in the street, or outside the house. However, again, we don't make new rules, as we said before. Rav David Auerbach writes in Halichas Beisa, it's not that we make new takonos, but we do have to bear in mind that there is a certain idea that anything which might be done communally in public, we will be discouraging the women. There is a story about Tashlich with the Vilna Gaon. The Chacham Tzvi once asked him, Chacham Tzvi told his daughters not to go to Tashlich. And he once asked the Vilna Gaon a question about what to do with leftover bricks. What to do with leftover bricks from the building of a shul, and Vilna Gaon says, use them to block up the ladies' entrance. Now, whether it was said in jest, well, the subject is that we want to avoid doing things where the women will be communally outside because of the social gatherings which take place, particularly if it's Yom Tov, and Shulchan Aruch has this documented that there were even officers appointed by the Beis Din to make sure that there was no flirting going on. And the whole idea of keeping Bahab, the Tanis Sheni, Chamishi Sheni, after Pesach and Sukkot, is because people might have, in their excesses on Yom Tov, eating and drinking and socializing, they might have gone overboard and done something they shouldn't do. But there is a comparison given by the Tzuri Evan on the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim, he compares to this mitzvah of the tree blossoms. Because the mitzvah of Bikurim, you bring the first fruits, and you bring the first fruits at the time when they're ready. It's not that they are davka done on such and such a date. You bring your first fruits when they are ready. So that's not called a mitzvah sasei hazman groma. So it's not a fixed thing which is consequent to time. Whereas, you know, with mitzvah sasei hazman groma, with lulav, you take the first day, you take every day, it's davka on those dates.
So you're saying that women are
chayav
to bring the
Kurim? They are chayav to bring the Kurim. Whereas with these other mitzvahs, Chanukah is also set days, although they keep their Chanukah, but all other mitzvahs, such as Mangaroma, Sukkah for example, it's on that particular date, from the 15th of Tishri till the 22nd of Tishri, or whatever it is. So the mitzvah of the tree blossoms is, you're not really doing Dafka on the 1st of Nisan or whenever. You're doing it in the season when the blossoms start, and that is compared to Bikurim, so that then women do have the mitzvah. Now the question is asked, what if you are going to make a bracha, you have to trespass on somebody else's land. It's mashma from the halacha that really, ideally, you should be saying the bracha on more than one tree. Because it says, Guinness for Padesim, ideally you should see two trees, and if you can go to a whole orchard, even better. So what if, when you go to a place that doesn't belong to you, can you go into somebody else's land without their permission to make this bracha over the fruit trees? So the poskim write about this, and they say, well, the mazaken adam shelo b'fonov is that that person's getting a zechus for your mitzvah, because he's enabling you to do the mitzvah, provided you're not going to cause any damage. So Rav Kanievsky writes that if the owner is present, yes, you should ask for permission to go onto the land. But if the owner is not present, the Sheikh Ahmed brings this down a number of views, you can go into the land. What if you need to go into a third party's land? So that you are Reuven, the trees are situated in Shimon's land, but in order to get to Shimon's land, you have to go into Levi's land. Can you then go into Levi's land? Because whereas with Shimon, as well as Akhenodosh Shimon B'chon, and he's enabling you to do the mitzvah, do we say the same with the third part? That's already another pill that we haven't got time to go into now, but it seems that one should be careful not to without the person's permission.
How far away can you be to make the bracha? In other words, could you be in Reuven's land, even though it's in Shimon and Levi in between? Could you do it from Reuven's land, if it's 100 yards away, you can see the tree?
You can. There is even a whole siman written in the sefer I've got in front of me, whether you can say the bracha by means of binoculars. If you can't get near to the place, or if the bud is so small, do you need a microscope? There are generally makel on this, and that if it means seeing it at a distance, then you still say the bracha. Yeah, even though generally in halacha we don't rely on microscopes.
I mean, how close do you have to be? That's what really
matters. Ideally, you should be close enough in order to appreciate it, that you've got a simcha, that you can have the right kavana to make the bracha, and you should say the bracha b'simcha. Really, you might not be having such a simcha if it's at a far distance. And it's not easy to see tiny possums at a far distance.
But if you're in your bedroom and it's next door,
if you are able to see it at a distance, but you can, are able to go nearer, then you should go nearer. The comparison to this is Kiddush Levana. It's called an insult to the mitzvah if you say it from inside out. You should go outside and make the bracha. So in the same way with this, as it says in the Gemara, when you go out, and the Rambam talks about when you go out to the gardens and the orchards, then you make the bracha. So it's mashma from that, that you shouldn't really be making the bracha from indoors, from your bedroom.
Is there any advice to Jewish people? Sorry?
Is there any advice to Jewish people? There is something written on this, but we haven't got the time. Really, it should apply to any land that you have permission from the owner. You mean v'zaken adam shelo b'fonov. But if you do trespass on non-Jewish land, stamakum gazlonai, right on in here, we say that non-Jewish land is often stolen from Jews, so we're not too worried about it. But don't quote me on this, this might sound a bit racist. But the Gemara in Nun of Hagozel talks about not picking your own hadas or whatever because the land might be stolen and we're worried about. Whereas here, you're having hanor from something which... There is the question, if the blossoms or if the tree is stolen property, you should not make the bracha on any forbidden kinds of trees, like kilayim, orla, something which is used for avodah zarah, irani dachas, jericho. So also the question is with gezel. Ideally, you should refrain from making the bracha on the fruit trees of any of these forbidden kinds of things that you should not have hanar from. Whether it's mitzvah bov aveira, it's not quite the same thing as a stolen lulav when you're having hanar from those blossoms. And b'zievin, if you make the bracha, it's not a bracha l'matala. I was trying to think of a way of connecting up the ideas of the bracha of the fruit tree together with the fact that it's Chodesh Nisan and we've got this magnificent festival coming called Pesach. And there is an interesting connection between the two. And this is how I'd like to conclude. When we come to Pesach, and we sit down and we say the Haggadah, we are reaffirming our Emunah in Hashem, based on the Nisim which happened, on the miracles which took place when we came out from Mitzrayim. We are basing our Emunah on the Eidus. The Eidus is the testimony of the fact that he carried out 10 plagues, and there was the splitting of the sea, and the Chizuk Halev, and there was Mon in the Midbar for 40 years, and all these things are magnificent events. We can't believe how great they were at that time, except for the fact that if we were not there at that time, at least we know that they happened, because so many people saw it, and it was recorded as such. What we learn from the Sefer HaKuzari, and we once discussed this before, is that our emunah is strengthened by the fact that so many people saw something, thousands, millions of people saw Kriyas Yam Suf, and it's recorded as such and was never disputed. Our emunah is based on that. Nobody disputes the Battle of Hastings in 1066. Everybody agrees that it took place because it was recorded that way. And this is our emunah of Seydanite, that we tell the story of the coming out of Egypt. The Sippur, even Mafidu Kulonu Chachomim, Kulonu Zakenim, Kulonu Yodim Esatar, Kulonu Volim, Kulonu Yodim Esatar, we know everything. We should tell the story. Why? Because the story is what happened, and that's what gives us our emunah. And we say in Tehillim, Rabbi Amalek says, Eidos Secho Nem Numiyod. From the Eidos, we get so much of that emunah, Nem Numiyod. But there's something else he writes. He says, Mikolos Maim Rabbi Madirim Mishprayom, Adir Bamaram Hashem. When we look at the ways of nature, Mikolos Maim Rabbi Madirim, the exalted waters, etc., we look at the ways of nature around us. We look at the trees, we look at the flowers, we look at the rain cycle, we look at the way nature is happening, where you get the guy saying, oh, well, that's nature. They don't want to put too much logic to it. They say, oh, that's nature. But we look everywhere and we see that there is an intelligence, a super intelligence, when we look around at nature. We become exalted to follow the greatness of Hashem. So we've got that, and we've got Eido Sech on Nem Numiyod. And then we've got also the Emunah. You get two kinds of Emunah here. You get Emunah when you look at nature, and you get Emunah when you look at our history. And the two of those come together in Chodesh Nisan. Now, Avraham Avinu was not so lucky like we are. He didn't have the Nisim from Mitzrayim to base his emunah on. What did he base his emunah on? He looked around and he saw nature. And then he realized that there's a Hashem. He didn't have the Eido Secha of Nisim of Mitzrayim. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayera Elov Hashem Be'eloni Mamre. How did Hashem appear to Avraham Avinu? Be'eloni Mamre. Mamre is Rosh Tevus Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adirim. The emunah which Avraham Avinu had was from looking at nature, and that's how Hashem appeared to him. We are even more lucky than Avraham Avinu was. We don't only have the ways of nature to look at, we've also got the Eidos, the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and on that we base ourselves on Seder night. So when we make our bracha on the fruit trees in the Chodesh Nisan, we strengthen our emunah in that other way, because we can appreciate the beauty, not just Lehanos Ben Bnei Adam in the physical sense, but the Hanus Bohem Bnei Odom, that it gives us a chizuk in our emunah, that Hashem's great creations are to be appreciated by us all. May you all have a very nice Yom Tov. Thank you.